Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. Epic family, it is hard to believe that it's been 5 months since we have all been able together in this space. And I had no clue that on March 1st, the last time we met in this space, that it would be this long, Will, before we could do it again. And actually, we don't even know the date that we'll be able to do that again. And I just want you to know, you can imagine the kind of conversation our team has, the kind of conversations Will and I have about this. We still believe God is up to something significant, but we also would have never believed that we would be recording our 22nd all-digital gathering in a row without having a clue about when we will actually be able to gather physically again. But I do want you to know this. We don't know that information, but we do know that God is still on His throne.
That's right.
We do know that we are better together,
yes.
And we do know that we might have to wait, as Seth just saying. I don't know about you guys. I don't love to wait on the Lord or on a lot of other things, but we're in the season of waiting. Mm. But we're not waiting passively, Will. We want to wait actively. We want to, with the realization that there are restrictions and limitations, there are still things that we get to engage in. And here's my deep belief. I've shared it with close friends, our staff team. I'll be sharing it with all of you, even as we move into the fall. I believe the key to all of this is us staying engaged in the present if we want to be positioned for the future. And so please engage with us. And as our team has talked about it, and as I've gotten information from mentors, and I've talked with pastors around the nation, I believe that there's one keystone habit as we move into this fall that is the most crucial habit for our entire church, Will, and I think it leads to the rest of the habits. And here's the habit that I think is the keystone one for this fall with the restrictions currently in place. I believe each of us being engaged deeply in a weekly small group community is going to be the best thing for us, our spiritual lives, our emotional health, and beyond. And so it won't surprise you that in a few weeks, we will begin urging all of you to be in one of our fall small group communities. But before I can urge all of you to be in one of those communities, today I'm urging many of you to step up and lead one of these small group communities. Would you be willing, again, we believe this is the keystone habit, would you be willing to lead one of our small group communities for this fall? You can get as creative as you need to. If there's an odd time that works for you, maybe it's an odd time that works for others. If you want to do it or can only do it once every other week, we're here for you. If you think you can just commit to the first 6 weeks, not the whole session, we just believe this deeply, that if people can be engaged weekly in a small group community, which is going to take many, many leaders, we believe that's going to help out the way we are created for connection, especially with what we're restricted from during this time. We believe it's going to help people grow as God intends for them to grow. And I even believe, Will, that being engaged in a weekly small group is going to help our emotional, our mental health, obviously our spiritual health. And so if you would be willing to do this, would you go to epicsf.com/lead? And you're not committing yourself to the rest of your life leading. This is just for this fall session, really from September to early December, I believe. And Francis and Lindsay, they will be in touch with you. But please, would you do me this favor? Would you not back away from your faith? And would you not back away from this community? Would you engage, step in, and step up? And we will equip you with all of the information you need to lead one of these groups.
That's good. That's good. And as we talk about what's important and transition to our message today, if we were to ask you which spiritual practices are most important, we are pretty confident that there is one that would be at the top or very near the top of all of our list, and that is prayer, right? Nearly everyone would attest to the importance of prayer, practically all of us would say that in order to have a vibrant faith, that prayer is vital, right? But here's the thing. Prayer, even though it's important, can still seem very confusing and challenging to do, right? And if anything is complicated or confusing when we go to practice it, the likelihood that we will stick with it goes down drastically. And so one of our main goals for today, you know, we can't talk about everything there is to know about prayer, but one of our main goals today is to help us all engage in this practice more and all to engage in it in a meaningful way. That's what we're after today. And so to start, here's the first principle we want to give you as kind of the foundation for this message. And it is this: the practice of prayer is more about a relationship than it is about accomplishing a task. The practice of prayer is more about a relationship than it is about accomplishing a task. Now, don't get me wrong, prayer accomplishes much, and we're going to talk about that in this message. But at the heart, at the foundation, at the core of prayer is a relationship between us and God.
Yeah, I think the best way for me to talk about the approach we should have to prayer is by comparing it to my weekly date night with Shauna. Now, if you read any marriage book, Will, they are going to tell husbands like us to spend time with our wives. Right. And like prayer, I know that that's something I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I set aside time for it. I put it on my calendar. But imagine if Sean and I, we go on that weekly date night. We choose a great place to eat, even if it's outdoors or pickup. We get the food. We're going to talk about what's exciting for us, what's concerning for us. At some point along the way, we're going to take a walk usually on our date nights. I'm going to be like, hey, what do you think the future of our life is with this COVID thing? We will probably talk about each of our four kids, how they're doing. But can you imagine, Will, if I return home from that date night with Shauna, I pull into the driveway and I'm relieved. I'm like, yes, check it off the list again. I did my duty as a husband. No, man, I am not that stupid. We go on date nights so that I might deepen my relationship with Shauna and that we might enjoy building a stronger, more intimate marriage. Might I even say that our date night really is about the formation of our marriage? I care about that. Yeah. But can you imagine if I said, hey, Will, just so you know, Will's my accountability partner. Hey, man, I did what I was supposed to do. I took Shauna out. And if he wrote back and he was like, Ben, what did you guys talk about? Do you feel closer to her? I'm like, I didn't think about that, Will. I just needed to do it. A lot of us treat prayer that way, don't we? Like, oh, I'm supposed to do it. We miss the privilege of it. We miss the deepening, the enjoyment, the intimacy of it. And today is we're looking at, in this series, really all of these practices that Jesus did. We're trying to understand how we can do it like he did it. And the practice we're talking about today, he did it one time in the presence of his disciples. And they were like, how'd you do that?
Yeah. Yeah, let me read that verse to you. It's just one verse out of Luke 11, 1. It says this: one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. He was praying. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, get this. The disciples were not at all surprised that Jesus was praying. All right? It's not like they saw him doing something that they had never seen before. No. Prayer was not a foreign concept to the disciples. They knew how to pray. They had prayed before. But what they were surprised by was Jesus' relational and intimate approach to God as he prayed. Jesus' prayer, you see, was like of another kind. It was unlike any other type of prayer that they had seen before. The best way I know how to describe this to you is, for those of you who have families and have kids, whenever you get around another family and their kids are well-behaved, you're like, hold up. Wow, I have never seen this before. Show me your ways, Master Yoda, right? Like, teach me your ways, because this is of another kind. I know what parenting is. I do parenting from time to time, but the way you're doing it is at a whole nother level. So they were watching and listening to Jesus pray. And when he finished, one of his disciples, all right, Jesus, come on. Teach us to do what you do the way you do it, because we've never seen it done in that way.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing in this series. Yeah. Like, what were his practices and how can we do it like he did it? And as he begins to open up that teaching, the very first words out of his mouth were these: when you pray, say, our Father. I love this. So they overhear this intimate way Jesus approached God. And when they say, well, teach us to pray, you can imagine what it might have been like if Jesus is like, hey, you heard me talk in a close, familial kind of relationship with our God in heaven. You're not allowed to do that. You need to keep your distance when you pray because you don't have what I have with him. But no, this is what we've got to get in on. Jesus invites those disciples and invites all of us into the same intimate relationship, our collective Father. Now, he's our Father in heaven, but he's our Father. Will and I taught on this entire Lord's Prayer last summer, and so you can go access all of those messages, like all of our messages at epicsf.com. Go to the media page, and you'll see those messages there. But I hope that as Jesus teaches us how vital prayer was in his life, it will become that significant to our lives as well. And I love, he says, our Father, and then Jesus just begins to make requests of God like he would in his normal prayers. He's just making requests. And sometimes we aren't up for asking, but Jesus says this is actually how it's supposed to work. Yep. In The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard says this about Jesus's prayer life. He writes, the picture of prayer that emerges from the life and teaching of Jesus in the Gospels is quite clear. Basically, it is one of asking, requesting things from God.
That's good. That's good. So Dallas is kind of painting the picture from the earthly standpoint, us praying to God. Let me give you a quote from Richard Foster out of Celebration of Discipline. He's giving us the other side of it. The reason God answers prayer is because his children ask. So Dallas is basically saying at its simplest, prayer is about asking. The reason God answers prayer is because his children ask. You see, the request is coming and the answer is coming out of relationship between a child and a father. And that's what this is all about. This Practicing the Way series, guys, what we are trying to do is learn how to live the with God life. How do we walk with him? How do we follow him? How do we build a relationship with him, a close and intimate relationship with him? And John 15 is an amazing chapter. John 15 paints a beautiful picture of how we live this with God life. And it also shows us how our requests, our asking flows out of that close and intimate relationship with God. Check out the language that John uses in these verses, starting in verse 4. He says, remain in me, or abide in me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. There's this closeness, this connection. No branch can bear fruit by itself. If it's away, it can't bear fruit. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But here's the thing, guys. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, if there's that closeness, that intimate relationship, ask whatever you wish. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
So good. So prayer is how we abide in Jesus or remain in Jesus. That word for remain or abide in some translations, it's the word meno. And if you were at our focus retreat, you remember Rich Velotis talking about that word. And it just literally means to dwell in or to make your home in. By the way, Rich's message from Focus last year can be viewed on our website as well. And so he's talking about this closeness. And so we pray to abide, but as we're abiding in Jesus, our prayer life becomes so much more powerful. And when you read from Jesus, apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to think about this. Because prayer is how we access God, it's how we engage with God. Think about him saying this, really, apart from prayer, you can do nothing. And so apart from prayer, I'm just living in my own power, in my own strength, in my own ability. And while God has given me some of that, it's not enough to see done what I want to see done in my life. But with God, the scriptures say, all things are possible. And so I love this idea. We're abiding in Jesus. We are realizing, well, we can't do anything.
That's right.
We can't do anything as a church. Nothing significant and it's going to happen in our families. Nothing significant is going to happen, even perhaps with this pandemic ending. And yes, we're all for action, right?
That's right.
So whether it's justice issues, whether it's scientists going after a vaccine, we're all for action. But what if He's inviting us into this prayer reality as our number one response? We'll talk more about that in just a moment. And he says, remain in me as my words remain in you. This is why we talked about his words last week in the practice of scripture. So go back and watch that. We've got so much for you to watch if you haven't watched any of these things we're discussing. That's why we said, but if his words remain in us, we can ask whatever we want to. And I love how Jesus is saying this relationship with God as Father results in us asking him for things. And I'll say it this way.
Yeah.
Our relationship with anyone determines what we're willing to ask of them. Now, some of you are salespeople, but let me say this again. I know you're the anomaly. You're the outlier. I know salespeople, they'll ask anybody they don't know for anything. Mm-hmm. No judgment here. We just don't want your jobs. We'll try to persuade people in other ways. Our relationship with anyone determines what we're willing to ask of them. I mean, here's an example just to prove my point. How many of you, my kids, have asked you for a dog? Anybody? I hope not. If so, email me privately and I'll talk to them about what's proper in terms of making requests with strangers or people that at least aren't their parents. Well, they've been asking Shauna and I for a dog for years. And there's a principle in scripture. It's this idea that you should pray and never give up. I think Jesus tells a parable Luke 18:1. Jesus told this parable so that you should always pray and never give up. Well, Will, our kids did not give up. And today is Sunday, but this Wednesday, if we haven't been scammed, we are bringing a puppy into our home. I'm guessing they haven't asked you for a dog, but I do think this, Will, some of us and a lot of people watching right now, what we think is that we're just not that good at prayer. Mm. Maybe it's that we're not bad at prayer. Maybe we just haven't grasped the kind of relationship we can have as the daughters and the sons to God as our Heavenly Father.
That's good. Yeah, maybe we just don't understand what Jesus and God the Father were trying to communicate to us, the type of relationship that we actually have with him. And I just want to read a verse that actually Seth mentioned it earlier during our worship set. Luke 11:13, it says this, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so the question to you, are you asking? Are you asking, right? You know, there's certain people that believe that it's a sign of spiritual maturity not to ask God for anything. Now, the reason I know that there's certain people like that is because I used to be someone like that. I never wanted to bother anyone with anything, including God. You know, I grew up with this idea that my desires and needs weren't as important as everyone else's. And so I would suppress them. And when I became a Christian, I brought that into my relationship with God. So it's like, did I have desires and needs that I wanted God to do and move on my behalf? Absolutely. But when I thought about the world's problems, it's like, God can't be bothered. There's so many other people that are dealing with worse things. I can't share these little things with God. But I learned that deep and personal and intimate relationships just don't operate in that way, especially the relationship between a child and a parent. The relationship between a child and a parent is one of dependence. It's one of dependence. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand, that we are the Father's children. He is our Father. He is our Dad. And he loves us. And he wants to give us the things that we ask for, the things that we need. So prayer is an act of dependence. And it's a mark of our relationship with him. Us trusting him, coming to him and saying, God, we need these things. Do for us what only you can do. Provide for us what only you can provide. And so when you have that view of God as your Father, everything changes. And so with that understanding, what should we ask God for if he's our Father? What should we bring to him? Well, since you asked, bring everything and anything to him. Ask him for anything and everything. Bring all of your desires and all of your needs to your Father. Now, does that mean that you will receive anything and everything? Absolutely not. But again, it's a sign that you trust him, that you believe that he can provide, and that he will give you what is best because he loves you and he is a good and sovereign God. Will you ask? Do I have something else? I do have something else to say.
I can bail you out if you want me to.
No. Here it is. See, we're just going on the fly right here. Here's another way for me to put it. We are to express and surrender our desires to God. We are to express and surrender our desires to God. So many people are willing to express their desires to God, but they're not willing to surrender them. And some people feel weird even expressing them. Mm-hmm. But Jesus brought these two things together at the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he is about to be crucified. He knows what is about to happen to him. And he comes to the Father at the garden praying. He says, Father, please take this cup from me. If it's possible, take this cup, what is about to happen to me, take it away, do something else. But in the end, he wraps up that prayer by saying this, not my will, but your will be done. He expresses his desires to God, but then he also surrenders them. The two are so important.
So the practice of prayer, it deepens our relationship with God. It also forms us as we express and surrender our desires to God. But the third thing we do with this practice of prayer is this is how we make the greatest difference in the lives of others. And praying for others is called intercession. Intercession is how we stand in the gap between God and the people we care about. Like, we are to be a conduit of what God wants to do in other people's lives. Oftentimes, he will do so in response to our prayers. And as you think about intercession, as you think about praying for others versus how we tend to respond when something we wish was different in the world, let me ask you this question. Could it be possible that intercession is the best form of parenting? Could it be possible that intercession is the best way to be a good neighbor? Is it possible that intercession is how faith will rise in our Epic community? And do you think it's possible that praying for others, intercession, is the best way, not the only way, but the best way to bring transformation to our city?
Intercession, guys, is so important. It is one of the ways that we can live out the great commandment and show love to our neighbors. And I just want to give you just a personal example of intercession that made a difference. And it made a difference in my life, me receiving intercessory prayers. Last year in April, my dad passed away. And I got to tell you that the love, the support, the prayers that I received from our church community, it was just overwhelming. And guys, you know this, when there's a death in the family as an outsider, it can be extremely hard to know what to do or what to say in order to offer that person support and comfort. You're just like, what do I do? But here's the thing, so many people reached out, and I'm telling you, I felt sustained by the prayers of our community. Here's what it felt like, and I don't know if this is going to make sense, but it's almost like I knew I was operating at a greater level of strength than what I should have been operating at. I've played basketball a couple of times and sprained my ankle and gotten hurt. And I've had buddies come around me and they help me up. And then they put my arm around their back and they carry me over to the bench or to their car. It felt like I was just being sustained. I was being carried through. And guys, hear me out. There was nothing that anyone could do to bring my dad back. But intercession, I believe, unlocked the spiritual realm for me to feel God's presence, God's comfort, God's strength in a way that I needed it during those challenging and difficult days. So let's not view intercession as something that we can just push to the side. It is so vital and so key and so transformative in the lives of others.
Yeah, what if prayer is not only the best way for you to be formed, but also the best way you can help others to be formed? Think about that. Prayer is about formation. All of the practices are. But Will, prayer is different than some of the other practices. Yeah. All of the practices I engage in should form me. But prayer has the ability not just to form and transform me, but I can actually pray in a way that will form and transform you. Yep. And that's what we get to do. We get to cooperate with God. And I don't know about you, Will, but when it's people in my life, people I wish were different in my home, mm-hmm. people I wish were different in our church, Sometimes I just want to tell them, get your act together.
Yep.
But what if the best way we can have change and formation and transformation take place in their lives, and like it is in our own lives, mm-hmm. is actually by actually saying, God, would you do something? Would you get into them
yep.
and do something? Now, I'm not saying, as we think about prayer as formation, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for their circumstances to change. I think we should. I was reading recently in Acts chapter 12, and there was this moment where Peter was put in prison, and the text said this: while Peter was in prison, the church was earnestly praying for him.
Yep.
Are you earnestly praying for our church? Are mm-hmm. you earnestly praying for your family? Yep. I mean, I love that idea. And you're like, well, Ben, what good is it? Well, it says this in the text: the church was earnestly praying for Peter, and that night an angel came and delivered him.
Yep.
He shows up at the door of the people who've been praying, and they have been praying, but I'm not sure with how much faith, because they're like, hey, it's Peter at the door. And everyone in the room's like, I don't think so. He can't be here.
Yep.
What do you mean? You've yep. been praying for him, but prayer is also about formation.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So yeah, that's one example of praying for circumstances. I want to read you a prayer from Paul praying for transformation to happen in the life of the Ephesians. And it's out of chapter 3, verses 14 to like 19 or 20. And it says this. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. He's kneeling before the Father to pray, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Where? In your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled. Everything he's talking about is something that is happening within, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
So strong. And again, circumstantial prayers are great. But if I'm honest, Will, sometimes when people in our church tell us, hey, here's how you can pray for me,
yep.
a lot of times we're just praying for that circumstance to change, and we yep. want to. We want the cancer to go away. We want yep. the job opportunity to come. We want reconciliation in their relationships.
Right.
But man, sometimes we just got to remember that we should also be asking God to do this deep work. I mean, this is a prayer of formation.
Yep.
He's saying, I kneel before the Father. We've been talking about that relationship all day long, from whom every family gets its name. Like, everyone comes out of God. And he says, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he might strengthen you with power mm-hmm. through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell. There's that John 15 dwell language again. Mm-hmm. I mean, gosh, what if we just started praying, in addition to the circumstances we're praying for or against, God, would you just dwell in them in a deeper way? Would you strengthen their inner being, regardless of their circumstantial reality? Would you do something in them that would lead to their formation and transformation? And then I love this. He wants them just to know how loved they are.
Yeah.
You yeah. know, what if we just kept adding, like, God, would you help them to know how high and how wide and how deep and how long is the love of Christ? It's a love that surpasses knowledge, that they might be filled to the full measure. And I love that. And I just wonder, what are we going to do with the practice of prayer for the people we care about?
Yep.
Richard Foster, in his book on prayer, writes, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. Intercession is a way of loving others.
Oh, for sure. And here are two practical questions for you. And we want you to spend some time this week writing these things down and begin to act on it. Number one, who should you be praying for? Who in your life should you be praying for? Your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your neighbors, family, friends. Who should you be praying for? And what should you be asking God to do in their life? Two important questions as we engage in this practice of prayer.
Yeah, some other practical helps. We think that, like with scripture last week, we should have a set aside time, at least once daily, a set aside, like a chunk of time, whether that's 10 minutes for you or 30 minutes or longer, we should have that set aside time for prayer. It was Henry Nouwen in Spiritual Formation who wrote, "The discipline of prayer is the intentional, concentrated, and regular effort to create space for God." So we need that time. And Will and I tend to combine that prayer time with our scripture time. For me, again, I start off with some silence in the morning. That's where I'm trying to abide or to come back into or remain
yep.
in Christ. And then I'm going to read the scripture, and the scripture will oftentimes inform my praying. Other things that will inform my prayers are the people that God brings to my mind. There are three people God brought to my mind during my prayer time this past week. And let me tell you what I did as God brought those people to my mind. First, I prayed for them. And when I was done praying for the day, I reached out to them, said, hey, God brought you to my mind today. Are there specific things that I can be praying for? And while we have that set aside time of prayer, we're also told in the scriptures we should pray without ceasing.
Yep.
So that doesn't mean that you're just in a prayer posture 24/7. It just means before you go into a meeting, rather than checking Instagram real quick, why not just say a prayer? When you get stuck in traffic, why not make that a time of prayer? When you're waiting in line for coffee or whatever the case may be, before you go into the meeting, before you make the phone call, before you write that email, let's find opportunities to pray in addition to that set aside time.
That's good. Now, I want to share with you kind of my approach to prayer, how I structure my prayer time. Earlier, we were talking about how we are to surrender our prayers to God. And for me, it's something that I find extremely important is to try to begin my day and end my day with praying on my knees to God. Now, it's not required. It's not necessary. Can you pray on your bed? Absolutely. But for me, there's something about physically doing this that centers me on God and submits my will to the Father. So in addition to praying on my knees, then I begin to worship God. I want to hallow his name. I want to make his name great. I want to kind of say how big he is, and it reminds me how small I am and how much I need him. And so I then moved from worship to giving thanks. I want to thank God for who he is and all that he has done. And these three things that I try to do first and foremost when I go to pray, and again, I don't always get it right. Yes, I have rushed mornings and rushed prayers, or many times, honestly, the flesh just wins the day. I don't want to do it, and that actually wins, but when I do this, I'm telling you, I just feel so much more connected to God, because what I'm trying to do by praying on my knees, by worshiping God, by giving thanks, is I want to make it about him and not about me. What I try to do first and foremost, I want to seek God's face and heart before I look to his hand and what he can give me. That's what I'm after. And so once I do that, then I bring my needs and my desires to God. I pray for others and their needs and their desires, which is intercession. And then I pray for my day and upcoming meetings and events and whatever may be going on. But if I start it right, submitting my will to the Father, centering on him, I hold those things open-handed. I say, God, I really want this. But like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah, a couple of practical things for me. I keep a ongoing prayer list. I'm leading this growing church. You and I have talked about how, of course, we want to pray, but we can't remember it all. So I keep an ongoing list and I pray through that throughout the week. Another great thing you can look at if you're like, I don't know where to pray, like just start listing people in your life, what needs they have, or just how you want God to move in their lives. Another great way to pray, I think you mentioned this, is to just look at your calendar for the day.
Yep.
Like, let's pray for the meeting. Let's pray for the epic gatherings today. Yep. Let's pray for that test that my kid has. Let's pray for the surgery that, you know, and so there are multiple ways, but find ways to help yourselves engage in this practice in some regular ongoing way.
Yeah. Now, when you became a Christian, did you start right away doing what
so
you're doing
good,
today?
Man. Yeah, I got it all done right away.
Right away. No, we don't put us on a pedestal. Again, like we said last week, start where you are, okay? Just begin by praying for 5 minutes and asking God for your needs. Start there. That's fine. But we want you to build that habit. And so that's what we do to pray alone, which is important to our relationship with God. But prayer is also needed it to be done in community. There's something powerful about communal prayer. In fact, Jesus said that when two or three are gathered in his name, whatever they agree on earth and pray for, that it shall be done because he is present with them. He is agreeing with them. There is an amen in that room, in that prayer meeting. And so
Do you think he included the Zoom gathering? Certainly.
Yes. I heard it said it's the upper Zoom.
I'm with you. I'm with you. That didn't come from us.
No. But here's the thing, guys. Here at Epic, we constantly want to create opportunities for us to come together as a community and pray and ask God to move in powerful ways in our lives, in our city, and around the world. And so one weekly opportunity that we all have is to pray with us on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. We gather for about 30 to 40 minutes. We read a passage, and then we pray for specific things that we see God speaking to us in that passage. It's a small group of us. You don't have to pray if you join us, but we'd love for you to be a part of it. Just go to epicsf.com/prayer to find the Zoom link for that prayer time. And another opportunity, Atul mentioned it earlier, is our night of prayer and worship, which is happening on August 13th. Don't miss out. We're going to be talking about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how he brings comfort and healing and guidance and leading and freedom in our lives. And we are going to pray that over each and every single one of us, August 13th at 7 p.m. And just go to live.epicsf.com to join us for that.
Today, we've said that prayer is one way that you and I deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. But you may be thinking today, how do I deepen something that I now recognize has never existed? Maybe you've related to God as something else, but today you're recognizing, wow, it's not about the religious upbringing I had. It wasn't about all the rules. It was about my Heavenly Father wanting me to become a daughter or a son. If that's you today, I hope your mind is just exploding along with your heart because you're recognizing you can have something you never even thought was possible. I hope you've seen that God loves you and he's given himself for you, most prominently in the death and resurrection of his own son, Jesus, so that he could have other sons and daughters just like you. And today, if that's you, if you're like, I need this, Ben, I need to activate this relationship in my life. Well, God isn't waiting on you and hiding and seeing if you can get your act together. He is coming to you and saying, here's how much I love you. The scriptures say, if God is for us, who can be against us? It also says, God has lavished his love on us as we are the children of God, as a loving father. He has thrown that on us. And what you do have to do, however, is to say to him, God, by faith, I receive what you've done for me. I want to begin this intimate relationship with you. If that's you today, we want to encourage you to just get your phone out and text the word begin to 313131. There is nothing greater than entering into this truly this true relationship between God and you so that you might know what it's like just to be a part of the family. And as you build this over time through the practice of prayer, it will be incredible to see the formation that is going to take place in your lives. Again, just text the word begin to 313131.
Guys, here's what we have said today, and Ben also alluded to it just now. Prayer is more about a relationship than about accomplishing a task. It's about a relationship, and out of that relationship, we can ask our Father for whatever it is that we need. But not only are we to ask for our needs and our desires, but we're to ask for the needs and desires of others. We are to intercede on their behalf. And so we want to encourage you this week to take steps in that direction to grow in this practice because it will grow your relationship with our Heavenly Father. And you can access the PDF resource that we have available at epicsf.com/PTW. We want to help you. And so again, don't put us on a pedestal. Don't feel like you have to get there overnight. Just take one step. What's one simple step that you can do this week to grow in this practice? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you. We thank you that we are not alone, that your love for us is great, and it was shown so mightily, so powerfully by you sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. And throughout history, you haven't left us alone, but you've given us a way to commune with you, to build a relationship with you, a relationship between father and children, an intimate relationship. And I pray that as a community and as individuals that come together, we will lean into this practice because we want to lean into you. We want to live the with God life. We want to walk with you and grow with you. Will you help us do that? Will you help us encourage each other towards this? We need you, Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
One of the things that happens as you begin to live in this relationship with God as your Father, and as you begin to make requests of God, you start recognizing that even when you weren't relating to God as a Father, he was providing blessing for you in your lives. And you know, when I was a kid, Will, if I wanted to get my dad something for Father's Day or for his birthday, the only way I was going to be able to do that is if he actually gave me the money so that I could do something for him. And I know he had to be thinking like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know, it's incredible. Every time you and I are generous, every time you and I give of our resources, the only way we're able to do that is because God has been generous to us first. And so for all of you who are literally like following in the way of Jesus and his generosity during the season, thank you. We know that times are challenging. And so it's just been so inspiring for us to see your generosity because we do believe our mission here at Epic matters more than ever. And if you would like to join that mission today, you can give by following the text prompt or you can go to our website to give. And for those of you with a need, listen to me along today's ideas. Oftentimes, your Heavenly Father wants to provide for you through your brothers and sisters here in the Epic community. We're prepared to do that. Would you let us know if you have a need, and we will make sure to help meet your need.
That's good. Guys, today has been amazing and powerful, and Zach and Seth are going to lead us in this song. They're going to sing a blessing over us. And so this is the priestly blessing that comes out of Numbers 6. Receive it. Begin to lean in, remain in God, because He is remaining in you. Let's respond.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church Podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.